head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
And I walk in victory. In victory. Full of faith, I have no fear. To Him I will always run in. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The tail above and not beneath.
Above and not beneath.
I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
And I walk in victory.
In victory.
Full of faith, I have no fear. To Him I will always run in.
Where the
Spirit of the Lord is. Every day,
every day,
every way, I can lift my hands and say, well, I'm blessed, I'm so blessed, oh yes, I'm blessed, well, He showers me goodness and mercy. Oh, sing it again. Blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, come on,
I'm blessed,
every day, and every way. Hallelujah. Anybody here today would say that you're blessed? If you're blessed, I want you to raise your hands up. Begin to thank the Lord. As we said this morning, just a sign of praise. Because you have a God who wants to bless you, who's already blessed you, and He's ready to open the doors of blessing in your life like you've never experienced. So let's make declarations over everything in our life. Come on, sing it like this. That my house is blessed. My family is blessed. My health. Is blessed.
Is blessed.
And my wealth.
My wealth.
Is blessed.
Is blessed.
My church.
My church.
Is blessed.
Is blessed.
My city.
My city.
Is blessed.
Is blessed.
This nation.
My nation.
Oh, is blessed. Cause my God.
My God. Hey, is blessed.
My house is blessed. My family is blessed. My oh, my health is blessed. And my wealth. Is blessed, my city.
My city is blessed.
For my nation,
my nation is blessed.
For my God, hallelujah! Shout, sing, hallelujah! I'm blessed. Hallelujah! I'm blessed. Whoa!
Hallelujah! I'm blessed.
I'm favored of the Lord. My family is so blessed, and my health is blessed. We declare that my wealth is blessed.
My church is blessed. My city is blessed.
My nation is blessed. For my God is blessed. Hey, my house is blessed. My family is so blessed. Come on, church. Is blessed for my God.
Is blessed.
Come on, shout it, say,
We're waiting for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, burn our heart with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
Open up the heavens, we want to see.
Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, we're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
We desire tonight, Lord.
Show us your glory.
Yes, Lord.
Show us your power.
Show us, Lord.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Can't stay here asleep to how you're moving. I can't stay here complacent anymore. I can't stay here. My heart's full of longing. I can't stay here, 'cause I know what I'm made for. You're breathing new life into dry bones. I hear the echo, the sound of heaven's song. Your spirit's calling me. I know it's time to go. I can't stay here anymore.
To you whisper, I can't stay here, 'cause you tell me there is more. I can't stay. that's longing tonight, just begin to lift your voice. Just begin to let Him know you're longing for more and more of Him. Jesus, we're longing for more of You. Whatever You have for us, we want it. We want it. You're reaching out and we're reaching back tonight.
I'm ready for deeper. I'm ready for a furious flood. I'm ready for glory. I'm ready for kingdom come.
I'm ready for deeper. I'm ready for furious flood. I'm ready for glory.
I'm ready for kingdom come.
I'm ready for kingdom come. I'm ready for deeper. I'm ready for furious flood. I'm ready for glory. I'm ready for kingdom come. Sure, breathing new life into trial.
That You paid.
Come on, give him a mighty praise in his house. Hey! Hallelujah. Come on, just take a minute. Let's take a minute and do that. Let's lift up our hands and let's praise the Lord. Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see star, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Oh, let's sing it out.
How great thou art,
how great thou art,
how great thou art,
you are great.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim it. Oh my God, how great thou art. Oh, somebody shout.
Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Hallelujah. You believe that tonight? Do you serve a great God in this place? Come on, testify to somebody. Tell them that God's been great to you. Tell them something he's done real quick. Say, God, save me, heal me, change me. Find somebody, shake their hand and say, this is what God did to me and this is why he's great. Praise the Lord. Praise. You guys can have a seat as soon as you're done. So glad that you could be here tonight with us on our final night of 2018. Isn't that amazing? I was just telling, I was hanging out with Josue. Where are you, Josue? Hung out with him a lot this week. We were talking about how I remember, I mean, some of you can remember a lot further back than I can. Paul Dunphy. Just because you're right there. But I remember how big of a deal Y2K was, right? And I remember being in my friend Tim McNally's house with my band, the Sabretooth Mountain Chickens. That was my band name. I'm proud of it. Sabretooth Mountain Chickens. And we were going to record. We were a worship band, believe it or not. Shortly after that, we changed to STMC and then something else, and then we disbanded. But, you know, it was fun while it lasted. And we were in my buddy Tim's house, and we were getting ready to record the next day, and we all sat down, ate some food, and watched the clock turn over to 12 a.m. And then an hour later, we watched the ball drop in New York because we were in Nova Scotia, so it was an hour ahead. And that, for me, feels like, boom, just yesterday. And that was 19 years ago. 19 years ago, the world was in upheaval. Almost two decades ago. Time stops for no one. It keeps going and going and going. And the most important thing we do with our time is spend it with Jesus. And you have spent the last Sunday night of this year in the house of God, and the Lord will bless you for that. And I'm proud to be here with you guys. I'm proud that we're here tonight. We're going to hear the word of God. We're going to have an amazing time in the altar. And our life is going to be different because we're here tonight. 2019 will be the best year yet. Amen? It's the only one we got. We're only in one year at one time, so it's going to be the best. And if tomorrow isn't so good, well, then just wait till Tuesday. It'll be better. Amen? Amen. We have a lot of things going on. Ushers, why don't you come on down? We're starting our year off right. We got three things I got to tell you about. Number one, I got to tell you about this series Pastor Ward is putting on. It's called Clean Slate. Clean Slate. In 2019, we want everybody to start the year with a fresh book. Not just a different page, but a fresh book on your life. Every mistake and everything that we've done that we regret and we're upset about in 2018, it's gone. It's in the past. It doesn't matter. Your new year, your new you starts on what is it, Tuesday? Yeah, new year. And next Sunday morning, Pastor Ward will start a series on clean slate, starting over with your finances, starting over with your relationships and your walk with God, and it's going to lead you to your best year. How many could use a clean slate this year? Come on, I believe we all could. Starting fresh, good things are going to happen. Also, the next day, on January 7th through Friday, January 11th, we'll be having our January 2019 fast. Pastor Ward will be telling you all about it next Sunday. But just so you know, we're fasting things. You can choose to fast one meal a day, two meals a day, do a liquid only fast, a Daniel fast, whatever the Lord leads you to do, fast. But be a part of it. Because when you're part of this fast and what God's doing, we start seeing the church get shaken in a good way. We start seeing things that shouldn't be there start flying away like rats leaving a sinking ship. Because sin has no place in a fasting church. Brokenness and defeat has no place in a fasting church. And we're going to be a part of that. So I encourage you to get ready, get your body ready, you know, get all your eating out on New Year's Eve, and then just kind of slowly work your way down so you can win this fast. Amen? And also, we have a concert. We haven't had a concert in a long time. But on January 19th, at 6 p.m. here, Unspoken will be here. And let me tell you, they've been here two times before. They're from Maine. The lead singer there right in the middle, he's from Ellsworth, Maine. And he comes in, and I'll tell you what, they are a great group of guys. They love the Lord. They minister to people, and they're very, very good. So if you like that kind of stuff, awesome. If you don't like that kind of stuff, we understand. But if you do like it, come on out. Invite a friend. We'd love for you to come. Tickets are available at thelighthouseevents.com. Usually we have some in the office. We don't yet, but we're working on it. Right, Barbara? None yet, but we're working on it. Amen? All right, that's it. We're going to take up an offering, Tim. You excited? It's a dream come true for you, man. Woo! It's a lot of words. I want to thank everybody who's here tonight. I know there's not a whole ton of us. This is a great crowd for the last Sunday of the year. But if you are a visitor, in front of you, there's a little card there. We'd love for you to fill that out. And if you get it in time for the offering, awesome. If not, you can just hand it off to one of our welcome team at the end of the night in the back. But if you are a visitor, we're thankful that you are here. Church, can you make them know their help? Happy to be here. They are welcome anytime. Before we take up the offering, I want to welcome back for just a couple weeks or a week or two, Morgana Vick, everybody. Woo! Look at that. She's come back from down under. down under. And Joanna, I can't really speak that accent very well, but hey, she's here to hang out with all her mates up north here. I can't do it. I'm not going to try it. Stop it, you dummy. Don't do that. But she's back from Australia for how long? A couple weeks or whatever? All right, so we'll get to see her around. So make sure you guys come down, see her, see if she's got an accent. She's having the time of her life, and the Lord's using her mightily. And we know that this woman's going to do incredible things for the kingdom all across the world because God has been with her from day one. So make sure you see her afterwards. Give her a high five. Tell her you miss her, and we're praying for her. All right? All right, let's get ready to give. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Because, God, we know that when we sow into your kingdom, great kingdom work gets done. I pray, Lord, as people sow this last Sunday of the month, I pray in Jesus' name that, Father, that they'll just start the new year off with a clean slate, that their finances will no longer be, God, something that they're afraid of, but something that they sow in and watch God move mightily through. I pray for blessings. God, I pray for open heavens, open doors, the windows of heaven to come down in a mighty and powerful way. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you'll bless this offering in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed as you give tonight. Well, I believe this is it, right, Heather? We have nothing else? We're excited to invite up our Elevate pastor to come and preach to you tonight. He's got a great word. Please let Anthony Nealon know you love him as he makes his way up to the platform.
Well, praise God. You want me to get that? You got that? All right. Yeah, you're a good Joel fill-in. Thank you, Ethan. Well, praise God. It's good to see you guys tonight. The ones of you that are here tonight, this is, it's not a big bottle of water. I just have small hands. But for those of you that are here tonight, thank you for coming out tonight, the last Sunday of 2018. One person's excited about that. Great. This is going to be so good. No, normally... there could be two reasons why maybe people don't come out a lot, you know, if we announce that Pastor Ward's not going to be preaching. We don't always announce that he's not going to be preaching, but Paul let the cat out of the bag tonight. So I know all of you are my true friends. I really appreciate you showing up, even though Paul mentioned it. So, you're the real MVP tonight. You guys showed up. There could be two reasons. I'm thinking that, you know, number one, you love your pastor. We all, and he's an incredible, we're spoiled here in Charleston because we have the finest preacher, quite frankly, in all of the country. He's incredible. And also, number two, the second reason why you might not show up when Pastor Ward's not preaching is because the rest of them are jerks. So those are the two reasons. You will fall under one of those categories. I'm excited to bring the word to you tonight. But before I do, you know, this time of year, this is the final Sunday of 2018. We're getting ready for, you know, you get that hashtag new year, new you, you know, all that stuff. Everybody's excited for, you know, a clean slate coming. I mean, this is it's an exciting time of year. How many of you remember last year this time? And maybe you remember some things that you said, you declared you wanted to see changed in your life for the following year. How many of you, you know, made some New Year's resolutions, or you wrote some things down, like, this is how I want my life to go. How many of you stuck with it, like, for the first month, and 2 months? How many of you dieted all year long? Nobody. Great job. I'm proud of you all. Dieting is for quitters. But I can remember, last year was great and all, but can I just tell you, I don't remember just last year this day, or the year before, but 13 years ago tonight, I got married right here on this platform. So, yeah, baby. Happy anniversary to my wife. And I know that applause is for her because she's put up with me for 13 years. But we're a teenager. You imagine that? I thought it was cool. I thought that's exciting to me. Happy anniversary, babe. You get to listen to me talk like you normally do, you know, tonight. So that's great. Okay, that wasn't funny at all. All right, so here we are, last Sunday of 2018. I don't know what your year looked like in 2018. I know I've been in this position before. Some years it's like, man, and maybe you're like this. I'm so happy 2018 is over. I had a couple years like that, but I've also had some years of, man, that was a great year. Let me tell you tonight, this 2018, man, it was my best year yet. How many of you are with me? Like 2018 was incredible. You saw some great things. You saw great victory. You saw great blessing. You saw God do some great things. Maybe you had some loved ones come home to the Lord. Maybe you saw promotions in your life. Maybe some of you here, 2018 looked like the stock market of 2008. You know, maybe some things came crashing down. But I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you tonight. No matter if you had the best year in 2018, listen, that's not the best that God has for you. Your best is still yet to come. God's going to keep taking you up and up and up to new heights and to new levels in Him. Amen? And maybe you've had a year that was up and down, and maybe things didn't go. Maybe you suffered some loss. You've suffered some pain. Maybe some things have happened in your life. Let me tell you something. A clean slate is coming. You're about to receive new life. Tonight you can leave this place with new life in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to preach to you this message entitled New Life Tonight. We didn't get those slides going, huh? That's fine. He's working on it. I sent him my slides and broke their computer, so forgive me for that. This is such an exciting time of year. It's so exciting to you know, we're wrapping the year up, getting into the new year. And it's kind of cliche. How many of you like me, I avoid anything that's kind of cliche. If people start talking about New Year's resolutions, I know Paul doesn't really like the cliche things of this world. He kind of beats to his own drum. I'm going to try to work you into an illustration tonight, by the way. I haven't figured it out yet, but if I can get you up here some... All right, good. When I think about New Year's resolutions, and I think about, man, what do I want to do for the next year? I've got goals, and I've got aspirations for the next year. I try to go against the grain a little bit, and I try to start them, like, in November, because I don't want to just follow the crowd, and, oh, yeah, you know, New Year's resolution time. Now, I like to do things a little bit differently, but it's still an exciting time of year. Let me tell you something. Last year was an incredible year for me. Why? Because, hey, I want to encourage you. Get involved with this corporate fast that we're going to be doing. God did some amazing things personally. I can tell you from a personal perspective. God did some great things in my life last year. You know, the year before I did it, and I did it again. You know, and God's done great things every time. When I fast and I pray and I dig in, I'm beginning to see God do the things that maybe you never thought might have been possible in the past. But because my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, there is power when you begin to fast and pray. If you need something to move in your life, I encourage you, get involved with this fast and see what God will do. I saw God do some great things. There was, you know, there was some work that God needed to do in my life. I wasn't a bad person. You know, I just, my focus was a little bit shifted. Ask Sky, he'll tell you. I was just looking, you know, it was just some things weren't quite in line. And here's the thing that I found, and I think I've encouraged a couple people with this in the past, but this is why this time of year is so exciting to me. When I stopped worrying, you know, how many of you have been like, man, you want God's will in your life? You've just seeking God's will. God, I want to know your will. I've seen people get so discouraged because they keep seeking His will, and what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And it becomes more about the thing than it does about the Lord. And so once I changed my focus about the what God wanted me to do and the who that I was doing it for, things began to work together so much more smoothly. And it's extremely exciting for me. So listen, I hope that you understand. When you leave here tonight, God is going to be able to give you new life. Maybe there's some things in your life that are not active. Maybe there's some blessings or gifts that God has placed in your life that are not currently active. Before you leave here tonight, they are going to receive new life and be reactivated in Jesus' name. You're going to get a double portion of the anointing of God upon your life tonight. Amen. Praise God. Number one, you've got to get pruned. Somebody say, get pruned. Better prune yourself before you ruin yourself. How many of you have been through like a pruning process in your life? When you've humbled yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, whatever is in me, if it's not your desire and if it's not your will, if this is in my life, I don't want any part of it if you don't want it in my life. How many of you have been there before? You've gone through that process. Sometimes you got to shed some weight. You got to just prune yourself, get rid of some things that are stuck hanging on to you that are dead and fruitless. Get rid of it. We're going to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. If you've got your Bibles, turn there tonight. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. Verse 1 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. This is Jesus speaking. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more fruit. How many know? Listen, if there are branches, this is what the Bible is saying here. If there's people that are just fruitless, I mean, this passage goes on to say, we're just going to chop off every dead branch and you're going to get tossed into the fire. How many know you ought to be producing some fruit tonight? Amen. But even the ones that are producing fruit, God's will for you is not to just produce the same amount of fruit all the time. God's will for you is not to just produce a little bit of fruit here and there sporadically. God wants you to produce more fruit, even more fruit, even more fruit. And like Paul preached this morning, the more room that you make for the Lord, the more that he's going to do in your life. He wants you to produce more fruit. Now, God does the pruning in our lives. So when I say you've got to get pruned, it's not like something that you necessarily do, but you position yourself to allow God to do in your life and to remove from your life the things that ought not be there. How many know there's some things sometimes that we can get ourselves involved with we ought not be involved with? There's some conversations that you might have that you ought not have with certain people. There's some habits that you might have that you ought not have. I'm telling you tonight, get pruned. Now listen, God's the one that's going to do the pruning in your life. But just like when I get a haircut, I don't cut my own hair. Nobody believes me? Is it that bad right now, Heather? I took a nap. I don't know. But I have to sit in the barber's chair before I can get a haircut. Are you with me tonight? Some of you get a haircut, and some of you, like Dennis, you might get... He does his own, yeah. He does his own. Praise God. That didn't help me preach at all, Dennis, but thank you very much for that. You got to position yourself. You got to position yourself in a place of humility to say, Lord, whatever it is in my life that is contrary to your will, that's contrary to your word, I'm here. I'm positioned. Show me, God. I want to get rid of this. I don't want to be far. I don't want to tiptoe and see how close I can get to living in this world and still having fire insurance and making sure I'm avoiding hell and going to heaven. But I want to see as far and how far and how deep I can go in you and in your presence and in the things of you. I'm not interested in just living a life filled of Christianity that's just kind of lackadaisical, that's just kind of church attendance. I'm not interested. I want to do more and more and more for the kingdom. When I wake up in the morning, I want the enemy to know that I'm up and I mean business. And I want the Spirit of God to be flowing through me, that no matter who I talk to, they can come to know Jesus. They can see Jesus in you and me. Man, get yourself pruned. I had some mindsets and some attitudes in the past that weren't quite right. There was some flesh that was showing that wasn't quite right. I needed to change my focus. Maybe you're here tonight and it's just a little bit of tweaking. Guess what? Allow God to do it. But you see, sometimes it feels so vulnerable when you say, Lord, whatever. You know, because maybe some people like to place their own opinions on you. Oh, I think you ought to do this. How many of you ever heard that? You get like one too many opinions from people. You know what they say about opinions. And if you don't, then that's fine. Don't Google it. Praise God. Sometimes you need to prune out some relationships. I want to go to John chapter 11. If you guys have your Bibles, keep them out. We're going to look in John chapter 11. We're going to look at the story of Lazarus. So I'll give you some time to get to your Bible, and I can have a drink. Praise God. Now, this story, what I want to look at, sometimes we think about this, This miracle that Jesus did, he raised Lazarus from the grave, and we focus on Lazarus and we focus on Jesus. But tonight I want to turn our focus to Mary and Martha. Lazarus was sick. In the beginning of chapter 11, you know, it talks about Lazarus being sick, and Jesus said, listen, this sickness is not going to end in death. In fact, this sickness here, this is happening so that God can get the glory out of all this, and you guys are finally going to believe. That's what the Bible said. Now, if we're going to skip down to verse 20, John chapter 11 and verse 20, this is where Martha speaks to Jesus. Verse number 20, after Lazarus had died, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, now listen, pay attention to this. Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. Verse 22, but even now, you can see the faith of Martha. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. That's a pretty good stance to take. Martha answered, hey, listen, if you had only been here, this wouldn't have happened. But even still, Lord, let your will be done. And I still know, I haven't lost faith. See, some of you, sometimes you get faced with obstacles and different situations in your life. I want to encourage you, don't lose faith. No matter what you might go through, you still serve a loving God. You still serve a God who is able to do those things for you that the world is trying to tell you that he can't do. He hasn't lost his power. Now let's look here. Martha had a conversation with Jesus about the resurrection. She's like, I believe in you. I know that, you know, one day Lazarus is going to rise when everyone else rises from the dead. And they talked about the resurrection. Now let's look at this and how Mary comes and she speaks with Jesus. And I want to pay attention here. We're jumping down to verse 28 to 33. Starting in 28, it says, then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners. See, a bunch of these Jews had come, and I think Lazarus had been dead already for 4 days, and these people are just, they're consoling them, they're comforting them, but I've got an idea that it might not have always been helpful here. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and he wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, very similar to what Martha said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But that's where she stopped. If only you were here, my brother would not have died. See, Martha said, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I still trust that God will do anything that you ask of him. She didn't lose her faith. I'm going to submit to you tonight that because Mary was the one that was attached to this group of people mourning and of people keeping her bound into what the current situation was and thinking about what had died and thinking about the past, when Martha was able to separate herself from the crowd and get her eyes on Jesus. Even though this happened, Lord, I still trust you. Even though you might have lost your job, Lord, I will still trust you. Even though things don't look good right now in the natural, Lord, I'm going to still walking on. I'm going to still go on for you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to give up. So, in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Now, why was Jesus angry? Why was Jesus, and I studied this and I looked into this a lot. Why was Jesus angry? It looked at first like these people are there to comfort her. But then if we look farther and we look in John chapter 12 and we kind of understand the whole process here, these are the Jews. These are people that soon after understand that Jesus already knows what's going to be happening next, right? So these are some of the same people that are going to be trying to kill Jesus and also Lazarus in the very next chapter. Because of the miracle that is about to happen in Lazarus coming from the grave, people got like, man, this guy's making Jesus look good. We got to kill him too. So here, think about this. These are those people that didn't have Mary's best intentions at heart. They didn't have her. They weren't really thinking about her. They were thinking about themselves. And here they are trying to keep her back in focus here. Don't focus on Jesus, this guy who says he's the Son of God. So here Jesus is, he's getting a little angry. They're keeping, I think he's angry with this crowd because they're keeping Mary focused on death, not the new life that was coming. They were life suckers. They were wet blankets. These people, sometimes, you know, when you've got to go through the process of pruning, sometimes there's people in your circle that it's okay if you kind of prune them out in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some people that want to, if you're going through a hard time and somebody calls you right up and they want to talk about how awful it actually is, you know, on the surface, sometimes it seems like, oh, they're supportive. It's not always the case. Are you here tonight? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you tonight? There's some people, I've seen them. As soon as a hard time comes, they are there for you because they want to feel better about themselves. You all have really good friends because none of you are relating with this right now. Praise God. Sometimes people, they will try to, and the enemy will use people around you to try to focus you on the here and now and the bad things that are happening in your life. But what I'm telling you is you have to be able to prune those things away, prune those relationships away, and look to the God who knows your future. Look to the God who has a plan and a purpose for you. Look to the God, look to the hills from whence comes your help. You don't have to be focused on the here and now and be upset about the things that don't seem like they've got life in them anymore, but you can get excited about God who's got new life for you in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 says, He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Praise God. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, they may have and enjoy life and have it in the abundance. This is in the Amplified. To the full, till it overflows. How many of you here tonight, you want to have life and you want to have it abundantly? I don't just want to walk through the motions in life. I want to be blessed in this life. That's what God wants to do for you tonight. He doesn't want you to just mope around getting rug burn on your bottom lip. He wants you to enjoy life. He's got new life for you tonight. Amen. All right, let's move on here. Verse 34, John chapter 11, verse 34. We're about to see a miracle here. We're about to see a miracle happen. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. There we are, the shortest verse in the Bible. I used to try to trick my Sunday school teachers. Like, you'd get, like, points for memorization or something, and this is the one I would go to. Jesus wept. Pay up. It was a trick we all had. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. Look at this. Verse 36. The people who were standing by said, look how much he loved him. But then some said, this man healed the blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? You ever feel like you've done like everything you can to make everybody happy and you still can't please people? How many people pleasers do we have here tonight? Like, you do your best to make people happy all the time. The rest of you, I haven't heard an amen from one of you, so you're not trying to keep me happy. Tell that right now. Thank you, people pleasers, for encouraging me tonight. Yeah, here you go. You know, sometimes you try so hard to make people happy, you try to please them. And you even like change the way, you know, I mean, you know, how many people are like, how does this look? How does this look? You know, well, okay, no, I'll go change it because you don't like it. You know, it's always, and even about yourself, like, well, what do you, you always are trying to please people, trying to please others. And, you know, even Jesus dealt with this. People couldn't, you know, he couldn't please everybody. People were like, you know, oh, how great he was. And then like, you know, you could have done a little better. You could have done, but you could have saved him. Anyways, okay, verse 30. I thought that was, you know, appropriate to point out. Verse 38, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. See, I always think, when you think about Jesus being angry, what's the verse? What's the first verse that you think about? What's the first story that you think about of Jesus being angry? Flipping the tables.
Every time you think, that's righteous anger. Jesus
got angry, he flipped the tables. But I don't ever think about the story of Lazarus and Jesus being angry about this. I've never looked at it this way. And I think it's important because it references this whole time from when Mary came out, Jesus was angry when he saw the people mourning and wailing about this death, until even now, right up until the miracle takes place, he was angry. I think it's okay if some of you get angry about the things that the enemy's tried to do to your life. It's okay to get a little bit wound up about it. It's okay to talk out against the enemy. Paul preached this morning about the declarations that come out of your mouth. It's okay to start declaring, I'm going to live my life for the Lord. I don't care what you do, enemy. I don't care what you try to do to me. I am not giving up. I'm going to continue this fight. I'm going to fight the good fight, and I'm going to continue walk in faith. I know that my God goes before me. I know that his rod and his staff, they come for me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It's okay to declare these things and get upset, get angry with what the enemy's tried to do in your lives and in the lives of your loved ones around you. Man, it's time that the church rises up. It's okay to get upset about these things and do something about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, let's praise him for his word tonight. God, we thank you. We praise you. We are standing on your word tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's okay to stand when take the word for what it says. Take the word for what it says and put pressure on the word. When the Bible tells you that he's going to bring you new life, when the Bible tells you that you're the head and not the tail, when the Bible tells you that you are healed, when the Bible tells you that you're set free, when the Bible tells you that freedom is yours, believe it and claim it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. John chapter 11. Verse 39, roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? I'm telling you tonight that some of you are going to see God's glory if you only believe. If you only believe, you're going to see God's glory. That thing that you've been praying for, that thing that you've been seeking the Lord for, it's right around the corner. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep on pushing forward. If you only believe, God is going to do that on your behalf. In Jesus' name. Those relationships that you need to prune. Look at what happened to Martha. She believed in Jesus. She believed the resurrection. She believed, it was like that Newsboy song. You know, she basically sang that, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the resurrection. She basically sang that song in the verses before, but you'd have to, anyways. Sorry, I get distracted sometimes. Because of the people that are around her, man, there's so many different excuses the enemy wants to try to put in your mind. that thing that was in your life, that blessing that God had for you. I hope that I'm speaking to somebody tonight that God once used you in the past, but you haven't experienced, you haven't stepped out, and you haven't been used. Maybe there was a spiritual gift. I'm speaking to somebody right now. Maybe there was a spiritual gift that was once alive and active in your life, but it hasn't been in use for many, many years. Tonight's your night that thing's gonna begin to flow out of your belly again. The enemy wants to try to put every excuse in the book into your mind and have it come out of your mouth. Stop with those excuses. Swallow them. Get rid of them. Don't let them come out of your mouth. In Jesus' name, I will move forward. In Jesus' name, I will be involved in the greatest comeback in history for the United States of America. Hallelujah. Martha says, this guy's gonna stink. Don't bring him out. Right before a miracle, sometimes people get cold feet. Sometimes you start thinking, I don't know if I want it so bad that it's about to happen. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can do it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. Number two. Number one, you got to prune yourself. Number two, hear him. You have to hear him. Jesus said, listen, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Remember the words that God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. Some of you received some promises from the Lord in the past. Don't forget them. Bring them back to your memory. Maybe you've written it down in a prayer journal somewhere. Go back and review it and see what God had promised you in your life. Because when he says something, his words and his voice, it does not fall void. It doesn't go out of it. No, his word will last forever. If he promised something to you, he is a promise keeper in Jesus' name. He's going to make it happen on your behalf. You've got to hear him. See, the enemy wants you to listen to his voice. Martha was thinking, all she can think of, he stinks, he stinketh, he stinketh, he stinketh. That's all she could think. Listen, sometimes the enemy is going to put different seeds of doubt into your mind. You feel God calling you into one direction, into one blessing, but you feel this tug from the enemy and from the world saying, probably not. Maybe that's not for you. Maybe that's for somebody else. Maybe you don't need to step out in faith and pray for someone to be healed. Let's let somebody on the pastoral staff do that. Maybe I don't need to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. That's probably for somebody else. It's for you tonight. It's for you. The enemy wants you to completely give up on the things of God. The enemy might tell you, you can't do it. But I know that I can do all things through Christ. The enemy might say it's impossible. I know that with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you hear me tonight? The enemy might try to tell you it's over, but I'm here to tell you that it's just the beginning in Jesus' name. When the enemy tries to tell you that thing is dead, Jesus says, hold my root beer, because I'm about to bring this guy out of the grave on your behalf in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 41, John chapter 11, verse 41. You've got to hear him. See, the Lord put this on my heart. Hear him, hear him. And I'm looking at it like Lazarus had to hear Jesus saying, Lazarus, come out. But that's not what it was. It was really about Martha and Mary. Like, hear me. I'm going to do something great on your behalf. The dead man didn't have any responsibility to listen to Jesus. It was the people that were alive that needed to listen. There's some things in your lives that they look lifeless, they're dead, some things. I want somebody to get stirred up tonight in the spirit. Some things that maybe have fallen away or fallen asleep. Some things, some maybe disciplines in your life that you've fallen away from. Bring them back tonight. Let them wake up in Jesus' name. You need to hear him calling tonight. Hallelujah. Verse 41, so they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. Come on, let's say that together. Father, thank you for hearing me. Do you know that when you pray in Jesus' name, every time that you pray, he hears your cry? And Jesus said, hey, listen, this is going to be easier for you when I ascend into heaven, because I'm going to go and sit at the right hand of the Father. And anytime that you ask for me to do something in my name, I'm going to do this to bring glory to my Father. That ought to make you feel pretty excited. That ought to give you some boldness. That ought to give you some courage. That ought to give you some get up and go to, hey, I don't care what comes my way, enemy. Listen, I know that he is for me. Who on this world can be against me? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for hearing me. Verse 42. You always hear me. Somebody say that. You always hear me.
Hallelujah.
But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Hallelujah. As the musicians are coming, number three, unwrap. Number one, get pruned. Number two, hear him. Hear the voice of God. Hear what he's calling you to do. Number three, unwrap. Had I thought of this earlier, Paul, I would have used you in this illustration. I would have wished I had a big old roll of toilet paper right now I could dress you up in. But you need to unwrap. Charleston Church, whatever that thing in your life that looked lifeless, right now, check its pulse because it's coming back to life. It's coming back to life in Jesus' name. There were things that were attached and growing off of you, those things that needed to be pruned. You got to trim those things down, but those things that were lifeless are now coming back. Those things of God that were in your life once before are going to begin to come back in your life. Lazarus couldn't just come out of the grave and everything was fine. He was wrapped in grave clothes. I'm spinning in circles because I'm thinking of toilet paper and wrapping myself in it right now. But he had to shed that off of him. It wasn't enough to just say, Lazarus, come out. Then he said, hey, unwrap him. Unwrap him. Let him go. In Jesus' name, with everyone's hand lifted in this place tonight, in Jesus' name, Father, we know that you hear us. Anything that's attached itself, anything that was a sign from hell to attach itself to the people of God, in Jesus' name, be broken. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 New life is coming your way today. New life is coming your way today. Hey! Oh, Ramashete! Hallelujah! Oh, God. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but greater things are yet to come. I can sense the presence of God here tonight. I can sense the Lord beginning to stir. I can sense the voice of God speaking to your hearts tonight. Listen to him. Hear him tonight. Hear him tonight. And now unwrap yourself from those grave clothes. Strip it off in Jesus' name. Don't go back to it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand tonight in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's time for the church to stir up the gift that is in each and every one of us, to fan it into flames. You know what happens? Yeah, I'm thinking about this here. I recently had to replace my iron. You iron your clothes with. It gets really hot, right? Obviously, I had to replace it because it didn't get really hot anymore. But before I can just throw it out, and before I can discard it, it has to be cool. If it was hot, man, I'm not going to try to grab onto that thing. If your life remains hot and it doesn't cool down, the enemy's not going to want to try to grab you and toss you to the side. Amen? stay hot, fan into flames that thing that God has already placed inside of you tonight. Praise God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight, praise Jesus. I'm wondering if you're here tonight and you'd say, I need new life. I need new life. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never given your heart to Jesus. Or maybe you did at one time, but you've since drifted and you need to recommit your life to Jesus tonight. I know it's a small crowd here tonight, but I'm not going to let this moment go without giving the opportunity. If you're here tonight and you know that you're not right with God and you need to receive the new life that only comes through Christ Jesus, you want to give your life to Him and commit to living your life for Him, just slip your hand in the air so I can see you and I can pray with you. If you want to give your heart to Jesus tonight, yes, I see you. Anybody else? Yes, I see you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll pray with you in just a little bit. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe some things the enemy said it was dead, but God wants to give you new life tonight. Maybe you're ready to unwrap the grave clothes. I'm coming out, baby. I'm coming out of this tomb. Those things that the enemy tried to put to death, God's bringing them back to life. If that's you tonight, let me see your hand. There's some things in my life that the enemy tried to end, but I know in Jesus' name, I'm ready for Him to bring them back to life. Let me see it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, before we move farther, if you want to get right with the Lord, I want you to meet me first. Come right down here. Come meet me at the altar. If you raised your hand, you want to give your heart to the Lord, come on down and we'll say a simple prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Don't be afraid. Church, why don't you just ask your neighbor if they want you to walk down with them real quick. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this moment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Let's do this. Let's pray this. I know there were some hands that went up. So we're going to pray this like a family. You guys ready? Let's pray this out loud together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for being a God of second chances. Thank you for new life. I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you came and gave your life for me. Thank you. Come into my heart and make me new and make me pure. I commit to living my life for you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone give a hand clap of praise to the Lord tonight. Praise you, God. Now, for the rest of you, listen. If you're ready to receive new life. Now, look, there's two different things here. We receive new life when we give our lives to Jesus. The old thing has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's when I receive new life. But the other thing that I'm talking about tonight, Mary and Martha were looking for their brother to receive new life. It wasn't about, do I have a relationship with Jesus? It's the things that God has put in motion into your lives that need to come back into life. If that was you and you said, hey, I'm ready to unwrap. I'm ready to receive new life. Come, let's end this service in prayer at this altar tonight and see what God will do. The last Sunday night of 2018. Come on, let's end this night in worship in the altar. The sound of it.